This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with News West for Sunday, 10th of January 2021. Today is the contesting edition, and it's the first contesting edition for the year. There's information about four Aussie and international contests coming up in the next month or two, and especially we encourage you to think about how you might tackle a John Moyle Memorial Field Day in March, remembering that last year we had to pull the plug on many planned activities for that weekend. There's a comment from Glenn VK4DU about the recent unilateral changes by the ACMA to the call sign prefixes in relation to the state number. I remark about the current state of Solar Cycle 25 and comment on amateur radio in emergency communications. And of course, we cap off the program with Roy's helpline. But there is more on News West, providing Western Australian amateur radio news to amateurs in the VK6 call area and beyond.
News West is compiled and presented by the team of WA Amateur Radio News. We take care to present information that is about amateur radio or of direct interest to amateur radio enthusiasts, especially those of us here in Western Australia. From time to time, we've turned down the opportunity to present very interesting information that has no relevance to amateur radio. This is why we sometimes fall short of our target of 30 minutes per episode, and we sometimes go overtime when there's an abundance of material. Sometimes we report on what's happening in the world of amateur radio, as we have recently with regard to the behaviour of some amateurs affecting the rest of the amateur radio population. We also report and comment on matters arising from the actions of the Wireless Institute of Australia, the Radio Amateur Society of Australia, and the government regulator, the ACMA. Here at News West, we take care to check the veracity of stories that we put to air, and we have a standing offer for anyone who believes that we have published untrue or misleading information to provide a rebuttal for us to put to air. This offer stands with the proviso that their rebuttal must be proven with factual evidence and that it observes the usual requirement of respect and truth.
During the VHF-UHF field days, the VHF and UHF operators head for the hills and other high places to see how far and how many stations they can work. The VKE Summer VHF-UHF Field Day is on next weekend, 16th to the 17th of January. The field days have separate sections for single and multiple operator stations. The duration of the field day is 24 hours, but there are also 8-hour sections for operators who may not be able to camp overnight. Many club stations prefer to operate for the full 24 hours. The field days also generate plenty of activity from home stations, so there is also a separate home station section. All contacts must be simplex. Contacts through repeaters or satellites are not allowed. There is plenty of FM activity, but one feature of the field day is a high level of SSB activity. It is possible to do very well with only a modest antenna if you pick a good elevated position. Another option, if your station is easily transportable, is to operate from more than one location during the contest period. The ultimate aim of the contest is to get away for the weekend and have some fun. But next, after that, the actual aims are to encourage more activity on VHF and microwave bands, to encourage people to work greater distances than usual by operating portable, and to provide opportunities for people to activate or work into new grid squares. This contest is worth considering because most of us have basic VHF-UHF equipment, and with a bit of careful positioning in a high spot, you can have a good go. The Summer VHF-UHF Field Day is on Saturday the 16th and Sunday the 17th of January. Here's the interesting bit. The duration of the contest in a call area other than VK6 is 0100 UTC Saturday to 0100 UTC Sunday, and in VK6, the duration is 0400 UTC Saturday to 0400 UTC Sunday. This contest is next weekend. Even if you're vaguely interested, hop on over to the WIA website and read the rules. You may be surprised at how well you might do and give it a go. Just think about Perth's geography, a flat plain with several high spots and a 300-metre escarpment to the east. What else could you ask for?
After a bit of a flurry late last year, the sun has gone a bit quiet again. Do you remember the excitement last November when the solar flux index cracked 100 for the first time in what seems forever? The solar flux index has slowly dropped since then, and this week it was 74. It's not all doom and gloom because the solar flux index isn't the only indicator that the sun is being kind to radio propagation. I'm hearing reports of good DX on HF bands and interesting results on 6 metres, and the digital modes such as FT8 have soldiered on as if nothing has happened. We're only a short way into sunspot cycle 25, and all the indicators are that the cycle is progressing as it should. You can keep track of what the sun is up to, including more indices than you can shake a stick at sites such as solarham.net. I reckon we should make the most of propagation as it is and move with it as it changes. What we are seeing now is exciting stuff, and if it's your first solar cycle, make the most of it now. What you will probably see now is some interesting and surprising DX turning up, but you have to be there to work it, and not be surprised if it drops out as quickly as it turns up. But one thing's for certain, you'll never, never know if you never, never give it a go.
This is VK6ARN, and you're listening to News West.
The 2021 CQ Worldwide 160 Meter Contest is coming up soon. The CW contest starts at 2200 Zulu January 29 and runs through to 2200 Zulu January 31. And the SSB contest from 2200 Zulu February the 26th to 2200 Zulu February 28. The objective of the contest is for amateurs around the world to contact other amateurs in as many US states, Canadian provinces and countries as possible utilizing the 160 meter band. The allowed frequencies are 1800 to 2000 kilohertz. All entrants are encouraged to spread out as much as possible, obeying frequency restrictions and power limits for their own country. Any violations of ITU band use may result in disqualification. So there you go, 160 meter enthusiasts, 160 meter contest. The rules and other information are on the CQWW website, www.cq160.com, www.cq160.com.
Hello everyone, I'm Glenn, VK4DU, the president of RASA. ACMA recently removed the 90-year-old linkage between call sign numeric prefix and station location. That is 2 equals New South Wales, 3 equals Victoria, 4 for Queensland, etc. Previously, if an amateur moved interstate, he or she would be required to change his or her call sign to match the new location. Under the changes, you can now take your call sign with you and operate from your new interstate QTH without signing portable. Unfortunately, the change has broken the integrity of the numeric system. If you are a VK2, you could be living in Hobart. That VK0 you worked on 6 metres could be just up the road. Feedback on this change has been entirely negative. Amateurs want to retain the existing system. State-based numbers matter to many amateurs. ACMA's argument is that call signs are an administrative arrangement only. We raised this issue with ACMA recently. They advise that they are open to a further relaxation of the call sign template to remove the state territory number connection altogether. This is an issue that impacts every single amateur. Do we want the call sign number to indicate the state territory of operation or not? Unless the amateur radio sector is united, the numeral versus QTH connection may be gone completely later this year. Individual letters can be written to the minister and the ACMA, but if we are not united, there is very little chance of success. It appears that the WIA has no public position on this major change at the moment, a change that impacts every one of their members. This is a classic case of self-inflicted divide and conquer. It must end. We need to unite on this issue. Email us, and the WIA and tell us your views. We have written to the WIA President and Board asking them to determine their position on this issue. Cheers for now.
Let's talk about amateur radio and emergency management in Australia. This subject was raised in two places recently. Firstly, a post appeared on the Wireless Institute of Australia's Facebook page on the 30th of December, and it said, WIA is looking actively to revitalise working groups, and MCOM, that's Emergency Communications, is not an exemption. Right now, we're looking actively for expressions of interest from WIA members with a background in emergency management and emergency communications to be part of the WIA's MCOM working group. Natural disasters are just around the corner, and every country must be prepared in a unique and coordinated response. The IARU encourages its member societies to be an active part involved with national authorities and other societies in the region to generate effective strategies. Now, this provoked a bit of discussion on that Facebook page. Then the post was updated to include, and I quote, admin update. This post was not approved by the WIA board, but has been left in place in the public interest of open dialogue and discussion on MCOMs in the Australian context. MCOMs is recognised internationally as an important part of the radio amateur service by the ITU and IARU. However, the situation in Australia is quite unique and not widely understood. Also, unlike most other jurisdictions, for instance the USA, the Australian regulator does not recognise MCOMs as part of the definition of the radio amateur service. End of quote. So that was the first opening of the subject. Then during the week just gone by, a comment was made on the WA Hams mailing list asking what role, if any, amateur radio is playing or could play in the current bushfire emergencies around Perth. This also created a lot of discussion. I recall similar discussions around 2006, when there was a belief held by some amateurs that we, the amateur radio community, would be the saviours of our emergency services communication systems when the widespread disaster knocks out the SES statewide radio network. For some reason, it was believed that amateur radio would be exempt from the damage, but this was simply not true. It was a pipe dream. At the time, I researched the SES websites looking for an emergency communications plan. I found it. It was simple. If their own comms system failed, they would use UHF CB Channel 5. Amateur radio wasn't considered then, and hasn't been since then. It may have been a possibility a few decades earlier when the State Emergency Services was still called Civil Defence and much of its equipment was military surplus. I recall going on an exercise and the comms gear was Pony two-way radios. Do you remember those Pony radios? But it was too long ago, and somewhere along the line, amateur radio became not an option, and it still isn't. We need to face some reality. We, the amateur radio hobby, will never, in our present form, become an essential part of the communications structure of the emergency services in this country. What we do have is a bunch of people with transferable skills who may wish to become involved with those agencies that do have emergency management and response roles under their state's emergency management arrangements. With the advent of fairly robust technology these days, including satellite communication, I'm at a loss to understand where amateur radio might fit in. Perhaps there's scope with some sort of collaboration with support agencies, and there was talk of that a few years ago, but that's faded too. Perhaps you disagree, and I've missed seeing something that is actually happening and in place. Let's hear your story. I'm Bob, VK6POP.
On HF, VHF and UHF, via the VK6 linked repeater network, and online, this is News West from VK6 ARN.
Coming up in March is the John Moyle Memorial Field Day Contest. If you don't know who John Moyle was, hang around and we'll give you his story in the March contesting edition of News West. The aim of the John Moyle Memorial Field Day is to encourage and provide familiarisation with portable and field operation and provide training for emergency situations. The rules are therefore specifically designed and focused to encourage field operations. Having said that, though, this contest is about encouraging field operation, but it's not limited to portable operations. If you're unable to work portable, you're still able to work this contest from home. We won't bother talking about the rules at this early point, but what we do need to talk about is to encourage you to consider having a go at this Aussie Field Day contest. You can choose to go it alone as a single operator or team up with other folk and run a multi-operator station. The simple differences are that the single operator must perform all station functions by themselves, with no help received for logging, operating and spotting. Multi-operator stations are fun and social occasions, and there's a lot to be said for them, including introducing newcomers to contesting. Clubs and groups need to think about how they might run a multi-operator station. Would they run one huge station, or perhaps two or three smaller ones? Think about the benefits of each. The big bonus of field operation is the man versus wild sort of thing. It's about taking a carload of equipment into the bush, or maybe just across the road in a park, and setting up your portable station. Portable's a funny word, really. In terms of consumer electronics, it means having a leather strap by which the object is carried about by hand. In amateur radio, however, portable really means away from home base, and could involve a backpack of equipment or a truckload. Whichever way you choose to do it, the thing you need to do about the John Boyle right now is to decide to do it, and set aside the time for both the contest and preparation. You can find information about the Australian contests on the WIA website and look under the members section. 73s.
The 2021 CQ Worldwide WPX RITI contest is on February the 13th to the 14th. The contest starts at midnight UTC Saturday and ends 23:59 UTC Sunday. The objective is for amateurs worldwide to contact as many amateurs and prefixes as possible during the period of operation. The period of operation is 48 hours. Single operator stations may operate 30 of the 48 hours. Off times must be a minimum of 60 minutes during which no QSO is logged. Multi-operator stations may operate the full 48 hours. Only the 3.5, 7, 14, 21 and 28 MHz bands may be used. Observance of established band plans is strongly encouraged, and of course, participants must operate within the conditions of their license. There's more information about categories of entry at the website cqwpxrtty.com. That is cqwpxrtty.com.
Late last year, we told you about a new gardening net coming to the airwaves. Well, here's an update just for you. On Sunday, the 17th of January, at 5 p.m. Western Standard Time, you'll now hear the VK6 gardening net on 3.620 lower sideband. The net is an hour long and is an open forum session to discuss all things gardening. So if you're a keen gardener, then here's your opportunity to discuss all things gardening. We hope to hear you on the net. 73s.
This is VK6ARN, and you're listening to News West.
From the VK6.net callbacks registry last week, we heard from John, VK6RX, in Kununurra. John says that he listens to the news on his new VK6RX 70cm node in Kununurra. The news will be broadcast on this node at 0900 and 1800 on Sundays, and the frequency of the node is 439.150. Thanks for letting us know, John, and thanks for supporting amateur radio news broadcasts. Now, if you're passing through Kununurra, anybody, give John a call on 439.150 MHz, and with any luck, he'll be home and hear your call. And while we're talking about online feedback, let me tell you how it's done. When you go to the VK6.net website, which I'm sure you all do with great regularity, one of the things you'll see on the screen is a big blue box with the words Register Your Callback. Just click on that box, fill out a simple form that asks for your call sign or first name if you don't have a call sign, and it lets you pick from a list how and where you heard the news. Then there's an optional field for feedback. We really appreciate feedback, even if it's to affirm that at least one person loves us. The online callbacks can also be used for general feedback, if that's what you'd like to do. Otherwise, you can email feedback, ideas or suggestions to newswest@vk6.net. In these contesting editions of News West, we don't attempt to tell you about every contest that's coming up in the next 12 months, partly because that gets boring. Well, it does get boring for us, so I can only imagine how boring it is for you. And the other reason is that there are already calendars of contests both in Australia and internationally. A good Aussie one for us to follow is that of Alan VK4SN, that's VK4 Sierra November. It's the one we use to fetch information about contests coming up in the near future. That contest calendar is at vk4sn.com. That's easy. News West is the successor of amateur radio news programs that began in Western Australia in 1931. We don't know how often or for how long those broadcasts continued after 1931. However, we do know that there was a break in almost everything amateur radio during World War II. We also know that news broadcasts resumed after the war in 1945, and we're fairly certain that a Western Australian amateur radio news program has been broadcast regularly and hopefully continuously since 1945. Do you have any knowledge that will confirm or alter this claim? To jog your memory, you could look at the website that's maintained by Will, VK6UU. Its address is vk6uu.id.au. And please tell us what you know by email. newswest@vk6.net is the go-to address. A response by next Friday would be great, because next week we're taking a peek into amateur radio history.
Next week, News West focuses on the history of amateur radio, bringing you interesting stories from the yesteryear of our hobby. With more than 100 years of amateur radio behind us, there are some fascinating stories to be heard. To achieve this, we perform a sort of archaeological dig through old newspapers and magazines to unearth stories about amateur radio. It's always on the cards that we may miss a story, or there might be a story that we haven't yet found. That's where you can come in. Do you know of a story that you'd like us to cover? Did your great uncle Reginald build a spark gap transmitter out of barbed wire and a light globe, maybe? Or something like that. So send the story to us. Send all contributions as email attachments to newswest@vk6.net.
I want to be a producer.
Need I remind you that my job as News West producer is still up for grabs? The job is loads easier than when I first started producing News West, with good collaboration tools in place, enabling the team to share the work and perform the tasks in the comfort of their own home. So give me a shout if you're interested in being the News West producer, or even just joining the team.
Good morning, fellow amateurs and shortwave listeners. Roy VK6X-Ray Victor with this week's helpline for the 10th of January 2021. So far, so good. What do I have for you today? Well, I've got a couple of goodies here. First of all, I've got a repeat from last week of Kodan 9323 HF transceiver plus 9350 auto antenna tuning unit from a VMD 750 member who's retiring, unfortunately, but that's the way it goes. We all get there eventually. His telephone number is 9454 08 9459 9494. And his name is Charlie. He's got a 9323 HF transceiver, 9350 antenna tuning unit. Price negotiable. Please give him a call. And also available today, I have from Kevin, from the estate of Kevin, VK6 Kilo Romeo. In fact, Kevin 6A Alpha Bravo is looking after his estate, so we've got a double Kevin today. He has an Alpha Charlie Oscar Mike 600 Sierra solid state linear amplifier covering 1.8 through 54 megahertz with an output power of 600 watts, input from 30 watts. Unit is complete and 12 months old, is now in the new condition, asking $5,900. Being $1,000 below replacement cost. Again, that's an ACOM 600 Sierra solid-state linear amplifier. There's also a couple of Kenwood HF linear amplifiers, model Tango Lima 922 Alpha, one recently being updated with all the current modifications in top condition. The second TL922 Alpha is in partial update state, requires completion. All components to complete the upgrade are included and asking $2,000 each or $3,750 for the pair. If you are interested in those two linear amplifiers, please contact Kevin, VK6 Alpha Bravo. For further details, his home number is 08-9581-4338. 08-9581-4338 or mobile 0407-446-854. 0407-446-854 or email to Kilo Echo Victor Bravo India Charlie Kilo Figure 1 at bigpond.com. Again, Kilo Echo Victor Bravo India Charlie Kilo Figure 1 at bigpond.com. Next, I have valves. If you're looking for 807s, I have four brand new in boxes, 813x2. 833 used with their twin triode times one. They also have linears, HF linear amplifier, Hotel Lima 200 Bravo, 12 volt operation input, 200 watts PEP. There's also a UHF 12 volt linear model, Kilo Lima Bravo 450, an inverter, a 600 watt 12 volt 240 volt sine wave inverter, power supply units, large home 13.8 volt 25 amp Shack power supply. Hardware, there's an AR7 receiver vernier gearbox and transceivers Codan SRX NGT with 9350 auto tune antenna, GPS option included. Contact Kim for those items, VK6 Tango Quebec. His phone number 0427 983 3290. Again, that's VK6 Tango Quebec 0427 983 3290 or email to vk6tangoquebec@westnet.com.alphauniform. That's all from me for this week. If you have anything for next week, please contact me. The contact details, vk6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. Don't be shy, please get on the email and give me a call. vk6xrayvictor, now clear 73.
Next week, News West is history. What I mean is that we'll be talking about amateur radio history. News West will still be here. Thanks to the team this week, Mike, Roy and Jeff, and thanks to the broadcasters and the callback collectors. Join us next week for the history edition, and until then, this is Bob, VK6POP, and I'm still the News West producer, signing off and telling you to get on air and make some noise.